Thank you. Thank you. इषति पूतम् अतस्वरूपम् रूपम् तस्सागजामुरीपुरीम् मातुरीम् गोष्ठवाटिम् अहो राधिका माधवसं रक्तो यस्य पतितकृपय श्रीगुरुं तन्नतोऽस्मि गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकाय त्रये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो आनन्दलीलमाय विग्रहाय हेमभद्रव्यच्छाविसुन्दराय तस्मै महाप्रेमरसप्रदाय चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो चैतन्यचन्द्रमस्ति बध्यादीना अपराधलक्ष्य चित्तांश कामारित What did we learn yesterday? About Shikshastika. We heard that sound is eternal. What to speak of? Spiritual sound, even material sound. Why? Because In this universe, although everything is coming and going, the space in which it resides remains the same. Oh, if you need German, does anyone need German translation? So, okay. So, it is said in the Tarka Sangraha, that is the scriptures of the logic. Nityam gatam nityam. It means, if there is an eternal substance, then the qualities of that substance are also eternal. So since space itself, akash, is unchanging and eternal, therefore its quality, that is the subtle cause of akash, that is shabda. As Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, shabda ke parasham vishu. The subtle cause of space is sound. So it is hiding there. We gave the example, just like in earth, a piece of stone, fire is present. So if you rub the stones, the fire jumps out. So in the same way, sound is everywhere in space. And when we provide an opportunity for its manifestation through the vibration of the vocal cords, that sound which was already present appears and then disappears. But it's always there. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad said, if a person says the word cow two times, I'll demonstrate. Cow,
cow,
cow. He did not actually say two words, but it was the same word appearing from the Akash two times. You understand? Yeah? Okay. Let's say that Krishna Chandra walks into the room and goes out. But then he walks into the room again. Don't think there are two Krishna Chandras because there's only one. Okay? So in the same way, the sound vibration of words, which is in the Akash, is there eternally. When you move the vocal cords, then that sound appears and disappears. When you say the sound again, it's the same sound coming. It's not another word. Once a devotee asked me, said, why can't you just say Hare Krishna once? Why do you have to keep saying it again and again? So you should understand that when you're chanting japa, you're not saying the Maha Mantra again and again. It's the same holy name appearing and disappearing, and then the same holy name is coming again. And we're trying again and again to solicit the mercy of Nam Prabhu that he'll appear in an uncovered form, that is a spot, that a spurti will come of the true surup of Nam Prabhu. So we're trying again and again, begging for Nam Prabhu to appear. As Rupa Goswami said, Narad Vinod's Jivana Sudurmi Niryasa Maduri Pura. Tvam Krishna Nama Kama Spurame Rasena Rasane Sada. O Nam Prabhu, you are the life and soul of the Veena of Narad. That means when Narad takes his Veena and begins to sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's in so much ecstasy, he forgets to play. But only by the sound of the holy name, his Veena starts to play by itself. Therefore, Narad Vinod's Jivana, the holy name gives life to the instrument of Narad. Niryasa Madhuri Pura, O Nam Prabhu, you are the crest of a wave in the ocean of sweetness. Please, Tvam Krishna Nama Kama Spurame, it is my intense desire that you will manifest your spot dharma, that is, the bursting to appear in your complete form. There is no difference between na and nani. So, spurame rasena rasane sada. Rasane means appear on my tongue. And rasena means appear along with rasa. That means when Krishna is not alone, but with his associates, the interaction between them is a manifestation of prema rasa. So Rupa Goswami is chanting and bringing Namru to appear like this. So yesterday, we were discussing about this fourth dharma. Of course, ordinary sound manifests from material akash. But the spiritual sound manifests from chidakash, not from jadakash. Jadakash means material space. And the spiritual sound manifests from chidakash, from the spiritual space. And for those who are surrendered and devoted, Krishna will appear. You know, if someone has greed, there will be a sign that they have greed. Srila Vishwanatha Thakur said, the sign of the appearance of greed is just as a lusty, ambitious person is working hard day and night for the fulfillment of his desire. So in the same way, the devotee is engaged in hearing, chanting and remembering day and night for the fulfillment of the desire. These are the symptoms. So in Srimad Bhagavatam we see that Madhya Yashoda, she was trying to bind Krishna with a rope, but it was always two fingers too short. She tried for hours and hours. She was perspiring. Shukadeva Goswami said how she was covered in perspiration. Her hair became loose. The flowers were falling from her hair. Her face became red. Her cloth became disheveled. And drishtva parishramam Krishna kripayasa sabandhane. When Krishna saw the parishramam, parishram means hard work. Seeing the hard labor of Madhya Yashoda, his heart melted, and then his kripa shakti came, and in a moment, by one rope, just one rope from her hair, Krishna was bound. So in the same way, those who, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, you have to chant, 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 continuously chant. It's a little hard work because the mind and senses give some resistance. But anyway, go. And then, when Namparu, Drishtva Parishwamam Krishna, sees your eagerness, your endeavor, then after some time, his heart melts. Come on. And then Namparu appears, Tunde Dandavani, Ratin Vidante Dandavani, Dante. Rupa Goswami said, I don't know how much Amrita is in these two syllables, Krish and Krishna. When they come together, nectar is flowing. This name is dancing on my tongue, and I think, alas, alas, the thirst to chant the name becomes so intense that one tongue is not enough. I want thousands of tongues. The thirst to hear this beautiful sound of Krishna's name, Krishna, Krishna, becomes so intense. Two ears are quite insufficient. Why can't I have millions of ears? And when this name enters into the courtyard of my heart, and begins to dance there in his beautiful form, then all the indriyas, all the senses become inert. Samadhi. The devotee goes into trance, and there is a revelation of Krishna's wonderful, eternal, unlimited, swaprakash, self-manifest lila there. No need for imagination. So, this is called the Spota Dharma. The nature of Nam Prabhu to reveal himself. Now one may say, oh, Prem Rojan, what are you talking about? Where is this Spota Dharma described in Shastra? So come to the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 6. Almost all the histories of Srimad Bhagavatam have been described. And finally, Shaunaka Rishi, who's speaking on behalf of all the sages in Naimisharanya, he said to Suta Goswami, please tell me, how is it that the prominent disciples of Vyasadeva, such as Paila Rishi, Jaimini Rishi, Sumanta, that is Angira and Vaisampaya, how did they manifest the mantras of the Vedas? Because, you know, the epistemology, Spota Dharma is the true epistemology of Vedic knowledge. So, in the epistemology of the Vedas, we say that the Vedas are infallible, they are perfect, and they are aparusheya. Aparusheya means they were not created or composed by a person, by a human being. Yet we still know that each of the mantras of the Vedas was manifested by a particular rishi. So before you chant a Vedic mantra, you have to say beforehand, Om Prajapati Vishnu Rishi Gayatri Chandasi Vishnu Devata Uparayani Viniyoga. And you have to say the Deva, the Rishi, the Chanda, the Viniyoga. And then after that you can say the mantra. This is the tradition. Just like Sutta Goswami, before speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave respect to that tradition also by saying, Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet. Because Vyas is the Rishi of the mantra called Srimad Bhagavatam. So you have to give special respect to him, Tato Jayam Mudirayet. And then he will speak Jai. Actually, Jai is a one meaning, Tato Jayam Mudirayet means, after giving pranam to the Rishi of the mantra, then Tato Jayam Mudirayet say Jai. Srila Vyasa Dev Ki Jai. Another meaning is, Jai means is a name of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because by Srimad Bhagavatam, you become victorious over the endless ocean of birth and death. And therefore, Tato Jayam Mudirayet, after giving pranam to the Rishi of Bhagavatam, Vyasadev, then you should recite Jai, the very means by which you will become victorious and your human form of life will be successful. Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we know that the mantras of the Vedas are all manifested by Rishis. So in that sense, how can we say that the Vedas are Apurusheya? Is the question clear? If anyone gets lost at any point, you can raise your hand. Because we want that everyone will take home something really valuable, something life-changing. So Shaunaka Rishi posed this question to Sutta Goswami. How did the prominent disciples of Vyas manifest the Vedas? So, in reply, Sutta Goswami spoke a verse, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has put this verse in the first chapter of Bhajan Rahasya to explain the essence of Jaito Dharpana Marjanam, the first verse of Shikshastaka. This verse and the next two are very important, so we'll try to touch on them. He said, Tato Buddhi Vid Omkara Yo Vyakta Prabhava Swarat Yatta Lingam Bhagavato Brahmanaha Paramatmanaha. He said that the Supreme Lord has placed the syllable Om in the heart of every living being. This is also told in the 11th canto. Mayopa Brahmita Bhumna Brahmana Ananta Shaktina Bhuteshu Gosharupena Visheshoneva Lakshite. Yes, it's true. As atmas, as souls, we have come from Tatastha Shakti. But from the very beginning, actually there's no beginning, from time without beginning, the Supreme Lord has kept in the heart of every jiva the syllable Om in the form of Nad, unmanifest sound. When the rishis focused their mind and prayed to God, and they completely stopped all their hearing, they withdrew all their senses, then at that time, the vibration of the three syllables, A, U, M, Om, manifests from the heart automatically. So he said, Tato Buddhi Vid Ankaro, when the rishis, the disciples of Vyasadeva, controlled their senses, withdrew them, then this vibration began to manifest in the heart What is this? Yo avyakti avyaktaha prabhava swarat. This name has avyakta prabhav. That means secret, hidden, unmanifest potencies. Essentially, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining now in the next verse of Shikshastakam. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sahava shaktish. So that syllable om, which is in the heart, yo vyaktaha prabhava swarat, has secret unmanifest potencies. All potency is there. And it is swarat. Swarat means independent. Not dependent on anything else. It is not dependent on your intelligence, your mind, or anything. So, yattalingam bhagavato brahmana paramatmana. When the living entity hears this vibration coming from within his heart, he first realizes it as Brahman. As Brahman. Then, as it manifests more, he realizes that sound as Paramatma. And as he realizes more, it manifests as Bhagavan. And more, it manifests as the associates of Bhagavan and the Leela of Bhagavan. And therefore, the reason Shaunika Rishi asked this question to Suta Goswami is that in his heart, he had this question. Please tell me, what is the original cause of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it comes from? You see? So from Nad came Om, and from Om, the realization of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and then the fully developed realization of Bhagavan is this very naughty boy playing in Vrindavan. So, then Suta Goswami said, Srinoti, Srinoti ya imam spotam. He said that it is the Paramatma in the heart who hears the spot, the bursting of the sound. And then, because the devotee is dedicated to the Supreme Lord, in the wake of the hearing of Paramatma in your heart, then you are allowed to hear, otherwise not. Srila Vishwanatha Thakur gives the example. He said, when you're asleep at night, at that time, all your senses, which face the external world, are dissolved into the subtle body. So since the senses are dissolved when you go into deep sleep, then when your alarm clock rings, how do you hear it? In deep sleep, all the senses are dissolved, so you have no capacity to hear. So how does your alarm clock wake you up? So Srila Vishwanatha Thakur said, you are in deep sleep, but Paramatma is not in deep sleep. He hears it, and he calls you, hey, come on. It's the Paramatma who hears. Shinoti ya imam spotam supta srotre cha shunya drik. Yena vagvajyate yasya vyakti akasha atmanaha. Suta Goswami is saying, when the devotee is chanting his mantra, then the soul at first, because the devotee is sleeping, Mahaprabhu said, Jeev Jagoji, wake up everyone. Chant this Maha mantra. So when the devotee begins to chant, the devotee is first sleeping in Maya. But the Supreme Lord in the heart hears it. And being pleased by his chanting, then Supreme Lord calls that devotee, come on. But when you chant, when you hear a material sound, it brings you out of deep sleep into the external physical world. But when you chant the mantra, then Supreme Lord calls you and brings you into the Akashatmanaha. He's saying, Vyakti Akashatmanaha. This sound vibration is coming from and manifested in the Akash, the sky of your heart. You know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Avitya Timira Tapana Rupe Ritka Gane Viraje. holy name is like the sun. And in order to bestow auspiciousness on all the living beings, it rises like the sun in the sky of the heart. So before the pure name appears, only the first rays of Nama Bas, they do Chaitodharpanamajana. Cleansing. The Kartritva, Karanatva, Karyaka. The feeling of being the doer, the impressions of sensory activities, and the impressions of gross matter, they are eradicated from the heart by the first rays of this name appearing in the Akashatmanha, the sky of the heart. So here Sutta Goswami said, Yena Vag Vajyate Yasya. It means that from Om, all the Vak, that's all the mantras of the Vedas manifest. So Om is called the beach. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the reason Om is composed of three letters is because the three letters represent the three names, Hare, Krishna and Ram in the Mahamantra. So Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the rasatmak roop of Om. Om will reveal the Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. But the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, when Om becomes saturated in rasa, that is the rasatmak roop of Om. So when Guru gives mantra, actually he is awakening. What is there within the heart? So don't think that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is something foreign, something imposed upon you, something external. That potential and all the its secret potencies are already there within you. If you are devoted to the service of Nam Prabhu, then by the Lord's mercy, Drishtva Parishmaram Krishna Kripa Asit Savandane. Seeing our intense endeavors to serve Him, then Nam Prabhu gradually begins to manifest His Shakti. Therefore, in the first verse of Shikshastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing the sport dharma, the nature of Nam to reveal Himself. Now, we don't have the experience of this natural awakening of a realization of God within our heart, that potential which is lying within us. Why? Because of offenses to the Holy Name. So, in the second verse of Shikshastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the key how to begin to move away and become free from the entanglement, the very dense and complicated mesh of Nam Aparas. Therefore he is saying, Nam Namakari Bahudani Jasara Shakti Tatrapitani Amatasmane Nakara Etatrishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdaiva Mitrishamiha Janina Nuragaha. Oh my Lord, you have many names, and in these names you have invested all your shaktis. That means all your power, all your beauty, all your sweetness, all your compassion. And Krishna's shaktis are Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Ma. Dui Vastu Vedai Shastra Kumar. Radhika is Krishna's full Shakti, and from her Ananda Chinmaya Rasapati Bhagaha Vistabhiya Eva Ija Rupataya Kalabi. From her Lalita Vishaka Chitra Champaklata Indulekara Rangadevi Sudevi Tumavidya. All gopis, even Chandravali Bhadra Shaivi. All. So these are all the Shaktis. They're present in the name. You are so kind. Oh my Lord, you are so kind that you allow me to easily approach you through the chanting of the Holy Name. But I am Durdaiva. That means I have a great misfortune. Due to offenses, I don't feel the anurag. So here, anurag doesn't mean that very high level of praying, which comes after snehaman, pranayarag, anurag. Yeah. Here, anurag just means an anxiety, an eagerness to chant. Just like if you take a fish out of water, it's trembling. Oh, I have to get back in the water. So in the same way, if one is simply touched by Krishna Nam for a moment, the heart will become restless. The heart will become restless. It's going to be a spurti just of the lotus feet. Stepping on the dust of Vrindavan, the heart will tremble with anxiety. Krishna, where are you? And the intense desire, Krishnendriya Prativancha Dharapreena, all the consciousness immediately becomes attracted and just wants to please the senses of Krishna. It is a vaitiki bhakti. It is a causeless thing. Why do you want to serve Krishna? Because he's God. Govinda Vadi Purusham Tamam. Isavakarna Karnam. Ishvara Parama Krishna. These are all reasons why we serve God. But when bhakti appears by the power of now, no reason. It is a spontaneous attraction. One's whole existence is only to the please all the senses of Krishna. So, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, I'm not feeling anxiety to chant. I'm not feeling anxiety, sir, because of offenses. So we want to examine today some of the deep feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which is expressed in this verse. First of all, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sava Shaktish. The first mood is that the devotee should have when he begins to chant Abhinna Buddhi. Abhinna Buddhi means though one may not realize it, one must be very fixed in the conviction that this name is Abhinna, not different from Krishna himself. So that is called Abhinna Buddhi. To be fully fixed in that. That means that this name, being non-different from Krishna, and fully independent and fully powerful, does not require the assistance of your imagination to reveal himself. Oh my Lord, Nija Sarva Shaktish, you have all powers, you have all potencies, but just in case it's an off day today, let me assist you with my imagination. This is not what Mahaprabhu is saying. So, there are many examples throughout the Shastra, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva was feeling dissatisfied. So his Guru Narada Muni came to him and gave him a mantra and told him, Iti mantra vidhanina mantra murtim amurtikam yajate yagya purusham sa samyak darshana puman. Naradishi said, the Supreme Lord is amurtikam. He has no material form. But he appears in this world. Mantramurti amurtikam. He is mantramurti. He has a form as a mantra. And if one worships him simply through the recitation and the remembrance of this mantra, then sa samyak darshana puman, I consider that that person will have a complete realization of Godhead. Because before, you know, Narada said, I feel incomplete. So Vyasa was saying he felt incomplete. So Narada gave this mantra. He said, you be absorbed in this mantra, then your darshan will be samyak darshan, a complete realization. So from the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the spot dharma, the self revelatory power of the mantra is established. Also, in many places throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the example of Gajendra the elephant. When Gajendra the elephant was being munched by a crocodile, and he was in a very big fight, gradually, this fight was going on for hundreds of years, and finally the crocodile was dragging Gajendra into the water, and he thought, nah, I'm finished. And at that last moment, when he was about to die, then he began to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord in Sanskrit. Now, I don't know if you know any elephants. I live in India, so I have many friends who are elephants. And they cannot speak Sanskrit. They can't even speak Hindi. Because they don't have the actual mechanism. They don't have the tongue, the mouth, the structure of the mouth to be able to speak. But we see in Srimad Bhagavatam that Gajendra the elephant, when he was about to die, he prayed to the Supreme Lord. And when he prayed, he saw, he had a spurti of Lord Narayana there and then. And he took a lotus flower in his trunk and offered it also. So, you know, usually when people hear a story like this about Gajendra, it's like, oh, I came to hear some intellectual philosophical discussion and now we've gone down to the level of talking animals. So don't think like that. This is not Panchatantra or Aesop's fables or some fairy tale. There's a deep meaning behind the Gajendra, the elephant, offering prayers. And the meaning is this, that in his previous life, he was a king in Indrajulna and he made an offense to a pure Vaishnava. And because of this, the offense came and bound him in karmas. And he became an elephant in his next life, enjoying sense gratification for a long time. But after suffering for a long time, gradually, the effect of aparada was wearing off. And then by suffering, by being chewed up by the alligator, more and more of the reactions of the offense was wearing off. And when he realized he had no chance and he was finished, that was the exact moment when the reactions of his offenses ended. And the moment the reactions of aparada ended, then the glories of Krishna did spurti and they appeared on his tongue. You see, because that's what happened, independent. Don't think that because you have a human tongue and mouth that you can vibrate the Mahamantra Hare Krishna. Not any more than an elephant or any animal. Only, so this history is there to teach us that when our offenses have become exhausted, then at that moment, then Naam begins to appear. Another example is the Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, you know, became, he was doing very good sadhana, but then he became attached to a baby deer. And then when the last moment of his life came, he thought of the deer and he became a deer in his next life. So that life passed, and at the end of his life, just at the last moment, in the body of the deer, when he was about to die, he began to offer prayers to the Lord. Oh no, talking animals again. No, this history is there to show us that the reaction of his offense had come to an end, and there and then, Naam appeared. So, when Naam begins to appear, there's a great anurag, a great joy, a great attachment. A spontaneous feeling of separation from Krishna is there in the heart. Mahaprabhu was used to cry, Kaha mora prananata murali bada kaham karam kaham pan brajanda nanda kore kohi bake bo jani mora duko brajanda nanda sweetheart, where are you? Oh, son of Nandamaraj, you who play upon your flute, to whom can I speak and to whom can I express, who can understand the extent of my disappointment? Without Krishna, the son of Nandamaraj, my heart is breaking. This is the effect of the appearance of Naam. You can try to visualize Krishna as much as you like. You can try to project yourself into your visualization even. But this anxiety will not be there. It will come from Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu in Shikshastakam has not told anything about creative visualization and astral projection. He's speaking about how to take shelter of Mahaprabhu with a complete dependence on his Shakti. This is a spoken dharma. Not only in Srimad Bhagavatam, but throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, this teaching has been given also. You can see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going through the forest of Jarakanda, only by his blessing, he causes the Naam to appear in the throats of tigers, lions, even the snakes which are behind. Like this. Also, we see that once Mahaprabhu, he saw the neck of a peacock. And seeing the bluish color, it reminded him of Krishna, and he fainted. And just then some Muslim soldiers came riding along. And they saw some devotees who were with Mahaprabhu, Sanudhya Brahman, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and one Rajput, one prince. They were traveling with Mahaprabhu along the bank of the Jamuna. And they thought, these are dacoits. They've given this sannyasi some datura. They've poisoned him, and now he's fallen unconscious, and they want to steal his pranami, whatever donations people have given to him. They want to steal. And they arrested Mahaprabhu's associates. After some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened his beautiful lotus eyes and sat up. He was just coming out of his trance of ecstasy of realization of Krishna. And he explained to those Muslim soldiers, no, they are my associates, they are with me. So as he was discussing with them, all the Muslim soldiers began to cry. A name was coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh! Their leader was a very religious, devout Muslim priest, Pir. And he said to Mahaprabhu, we are fallen and sinful persons. Mahaprabhu smiled and said, how can you say that you're sinful when Mahaprabhu is a Pir on your task? That means when name appears, that means your aparad is finished, your pap is finished, material existence is finished. So then those Muslims, you know what it was like in those times, the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. India was one country, it was many different states ruled by different kings. And Muslims from Afghanistan and some from Turkey, they were coming and taking over the different states. And they were defeating sometimes the Hindu kings, and then they were fighting also with each other for power. It was a very turbulent and difficult time. This is why Sanatana Goswami, he refused to travel with any money, even one coin. Because if you have nothing, no one will kill you for it. So our Goswamis were walking from the Puri to Vrindavan, from Vrindavan back to Puri, and walking thousands of miles through all these war zones. Just understand what is going on at that time. No? So if the Hindus saw a battalion of Muslim soldiers on horses riding towards there, everyone would run for their life. Because they would gun them. Especially they like to kill the Brahmins and take their threads, and then they would cash in the threads. They would be given gold for so many barrels of threads from Brahmins they had killed. It was a very difficult time. When the battalions of Muslim soldiers would go anywhere, everyone would be terrified. But now, this group of Muslims, they became known as the Patan Vaishnavas. They would ride on their horses to a village, and oh no! We're going to get all looting and everything will take place and pillaging. And when they arrived there, they would tell everyone, chant the holy names! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare! And everyone would be very surprised. Oh, Krishna! So they became the Patan Vaishnava Sankirtan party. And they were traveling everywhere, spreading the glories of the holy name by Mahaprabhu's mercy. We see there are many, many examples throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu is illustrating from his own life example of the independent living nature of Naam Prabhu. And therefore he's saying here, Nanam akai bahuda nijasa shakti. So, you know that in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Dharmaha prajita kaita hutta paramone matsaranam sutam. The subject matter of this Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood by those who are niyamatsarana. Niyamatsarana means free from envy. Only those who are free from envy can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So our Srimad Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained a very deep psychology of chanting. Very deep psychology of chanting. He said that, first of all, you should know that the true nature of the soul is praying, love for Krishna. But the antithesis of love is matsarya, envy. Envy is the complete opposite of love. Understand? The Sanskrit word matsarya comes from matsya, fish. Because if there are fish living in a pond, then the big fish is swimming around and he looks and if he sees a small fish, he goes, oh, and swallows the small fish due to envy. He doesn't want them to grow up and become a big fish like himself. Yeah? And therefore, in Sanskrit, the word envy is matsarya, means like fishiness. So, matsarya, that is the exact opposite of love. So in order to attain love, one must be free from matsarya, envy. It's clear. Now he said that envy contains all anarthas, all unwanted desires, all bad qualities and habits are included in envy. You know, they're called the Sadvarga, the six enemies. Kam, Krodh, Loba, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. So they have a relation with each other. Kam is lust, Krodh, greed, the anger, greed is lobe, then Moha, bewilderment, Mada, pride, and lastly, envy. So envy is actually the condensed form of all of them. In fact, one turns into the other. So this has been described, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, Jayato Vishayam Pumsa Sanga Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodat Vijayate Krodat Bhavati Sammoha Samohat Smiti Vibrahma Smiti Brahmsat Budinasho Budinashat Pranashyati. Krishna said, by contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes absorbed in the sense gratification and it causes calm, lust. So by thinking of sense objects, then lust comes. And then from lust comes the crowd, anger. In other words, when our desires are not fulfilled, we become angry. If someone makes a problem for you and you become angry with them, actually you're not angry because they made a problem. You're angry because you have another desire which wasn't fulfilled. And then we, in our life, we look for a justification opportunity to just vent it, to let out that internal pressure. So anger is something that is experienced by a person who has unfulfilled worldly desires. So then, krodat bhavati sammoha, from krodh comes sammoha. Sammoha is a type of bewilderment. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has equated this with lobe, greed. Because greed means that not only do you have desire, but when you become angry, then you are ready to fulfill that desire at any cost. Even at the expense of other people. So greed is that stage where I'll fulfill this desire at whatever cost. You see, like in the world, at the cost of, due to greed for profits, then very big corporations, they destroy the whole environment. At any cost, whatever it takes, all types of pollution and everything. So greed manifests in this way. So samoha smiti vibramha. After the samoha, although Smriti Vibhrama means that the memory is lost. Smriti Vibhrama, memory is lost. So that is moha. Moha, bewilderment. When do we become bewilderment? Bewildered because we've forgotten the teachings of our spiritual master. Gurudev tells, you are not this physical body. Yehi sansparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. The contact of the senses with their objects is the source of misery. But all Smriti Brahmasa, when the memory is lost, we forget all of these things and engage in activities. We should know better. Then, Smriti Brahmasa buddhi nasho. Buddhi nash, the intelligence is destroyed. So that it means murder, pride. Pride. You know? Our life is very delicate. Kamala dala jala jivana dala bala. Govinda Das said, my life is so tentative, so fragile, that it is like a drop of water on the leaf, the petal of a lotus. If a slight breeze will come, and the lotus will shake and the drop will fall off. So at any second, we can die. It's really easy. It's so easy. You're just walking along and then a car comes or anything. And then you're just like a tomato. And then you become pizza. So like this. But mother pride means our intelligence is lost. We think, I am great. I am powerful. I am not going to die. I am invincible. As soon as pride comes, like this, but we don't know, we're completely insignificant and worthless creatures in the endless chain of birth and death. We cannot even get out. We cannot save ourselves. And we cannot change our karmas for anything. And we are so helpless. But buddhinash, when the intelligence is destroyed, that it means pride has come. And then when pride comes, if we see someone else whom we think is in a better situation than ourselves, then when pride comes, then envy comes to others. So in Bhagavad Gita said, buddhinashat pranashyati. Here pranashyati, the total destruction of the soul. That is matsarya, envy. Once we get to the stage where we feel hostile towards a living being, that means our soul's life is over. Therefore Mahaprabhu said, amanena manadena kintanya sadhana. You can chant continuously when we give all respects to others. So a person may apparently be very detached from the world and not enjoying the senses. They may apparently be free from calm, growth, love, and so on. But if they have hostility, enmity to another living being, then it should be known that all the anarthas are living there. Because matsarya is the condensed form of all of the other defects of the character. Now, why are we saying this? We're explaining this because in this verse, Mahaprabhu said, Durdaiva mitrishamiha janina anuraga. I'm not feeling the intense attachment for Krishna and Krishna due to offenses. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that the 10 offenses to the holy name, which I've been describing in Padma Purana, are actually 10 subtle psychological ways in which matsarya, envy towards Krishna, is manifest. Understand? When we hear the list of the 10 offenses to the holy name, to disobey the spiritual master, to instruct the faithless persons, to consider chanting is equal to the performance of pious activities, like this, to criticize the Vedic scriptures, to think that Lord Shiva is equal to Lord Vishnu, and so on. We hear, and it seems like a random collection of ideas, right? But actually, this is not the fact. Each one of the offenses to the holy name is a subtle psychological manifestation of envy towards Krishna. And since the goal of chanting is to attain praying, as long as that envy is there, then we cannot attain praying through chanting. So I'll touch on some of these points. First of all, the first offense to the holy name is sataninda, to criticize the devotee. So if we have enmity towards Krishna, then naturally those who are devoted to him, we have enmity to them. Then the next offense is to consider that Lord Shiva and other devatas are equal to the Supreme Lord. So this is a kind of enemy. Understand? Many places you go, people say, yeah, Krishna is God. But Shiva is also God. Durga is also God. Surya is also God. Chandi Devi is also God. Whatever. Like this. Because Krishna, the Bhagavan, in any of his forms, any of the Vishnu tattvas, is unique. No one is equal to him. No one is independent from him at any moment. But if someone is unique, then what do? If you're envious, if someone does a very beautiful painting, and you're envious of that person, then ah, this painting's okay. But I know someone else also paints like this. You see? So when you try to make someone equal to a person who's unique, this is a psychological expression of envy. And therefore, that is the second offense to the holy name. Shivasya Sri Vishnu Yaya Gudanama Adi Sakalam Dhyabhim Nantasya Sakalu Harinama Hitakara. Then, Guru Krishna Rupahya Shastra Pramane Guru Krishna Rupa Kare Kripa Bhaktagane. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna appears in this world in the form of Guru. Guru is a Krishna Rup, the form of Krishna through which Krishna distributes his Kripa, his mercy. See? So, the next offense to the name, Guru Abhagya, means to disrespect the spiritual master, to not follow his teaching, to not follow his instruction, or especially to think in the mind that the body of the spiritual master is made of five material elements, even. You know, everything in this world is made of five material elements. But the body of the spiritual master is not. Why? Because anyone who chants purely, their prarabdha karma is finished. You see? The physical body is made of prarabdha karma. So, if you chant the pure name, prarabdha karma is finished. There and then. So that would mean, if you are chanting japa in the morning, Hare Krishna, if someone chants the pure name, poof, just that dhoti is there and the where did it go? The holy name destroyed his prarabdha karma. So, to maintain the confidentiality of Naam Tattva, the material elements are destroyed and the body becomes Satyananda, spiritual. So, Guru Avagya means to maintain the conception that the body of the spiritual master is a material element. So, this is the envy to Krishna because Guru is Krishna Rup, the form in which Krishna gives mercy. Guru Raga Shuti Shastra Nindana, to criticize the Vedic scriptures. We discussed today that the Vedas, they are apurusheya. It is not like the Siddhartha. Hermann Hesse has written Siddhartha. You cannot compare this to Bhagavad Gita. It is a completely different category. The Tibetan Book of the Dead. There are so many different writings on different aspects of esoteric principles. But the Vedas, they are apurusheya, their eternal reality manifested from the spot. In the heart of everyone, it has come. Those whose senses have become withdrawn from the external world, the sound manifests itself. They can hear it in the sky of the heart. So, to criticize the Vedic literatures is an envy towards God, that only He has the power to reveal Himself. This is there in the very beginning of Vedanta Sutra. Atato brahma jidyasa janma adyasya yataha shastaryo nitvat. First Vedanta Sutra tells us, now we have the human form of life, we must have the all-consuming desire to discover Brahma. What is the greatest thing? That Brahma is what? Janma adyasya yataha, from which everything has emanated. Shastra yonitvat, And you cannot discover him yourself. Because he is the cause of everything, you are the effect. The effect cannot discover its cause. But when the Lord reveals himself through the Shastra, then you can know him. So scripture, it should be revered to the utmost. And of all the scriptures, the fullest manifestation of the spoken Dharma is Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore Mahaprabhu said, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swarup Sri Bhagavata Sarva Veda Shastra Vaite Parama Mahatva. Of all the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is supermost, and it is the Bhakti Rasa Swarup, the embodiment of all rasa. Shruti Shastra Nindanam Tadata Vado means to consider that the glories of the holy name given in the scripture is an exaggeration. So, in this way, each one of the ten offenses, you can deliberate upon each one and see how each one is a psychological a manifestation of enmity, of matsarya towards the Lord. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, Durdaiva Vipusha Mihajanina Raga. I am so unlucky, I am not experiencing the nectar of the name due to these offenses. Now you may say, someone may think, I am not envious, I don't have offenses. So...
It's raining.
Okay. So, because we have a tendency to think, I am not making offenses to the Holy Name, I am not an offensive person. Therefore, we don't feel regret. So this is the next ingredient or deep mood of the second verse of the Shikshastika, of Shikshastikam, that is the Anuttap. Anuttap means, Anu means after, and Tap means burning. When you do something wrong, then your conscience bothers you afterwards, and you're burning. That is called Anuttap, regret. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse is expressing Anuttap, intense regret for offenses. Now we may not feel it very acutely that we have made many offenses. So to help us, in Bhaktisandarbha, Jiva Goswami said, there are some symptoms. So if you can identify some of the symptoms, then you'll know that if the effect is there, then there must have been a cause. So there are five symptoms of the presence of aparad. The first one is called kutilya. Kutilya means a crookedness of heart. So Jiva Goswami gives the example that when you are respecting Gurudev or Vaishnavas or Krishna, you show respect, but inside one there does not feel respect. It's only a show, this is crookedness. So he gives the example of Duryodhana. Duryodhana invited Krishna, oh, come to my house for the lunch. And Duryodhana engaged all the servants in cooking so many preparations. He had gold and silver utensils. But Krishna didn't come. Afterwards, Duryodhana asked him, why didn't you come? Krishna said, there are two reasons for eating. One, if you're hungry. And the other reason is, if someone loves you and they give you something, even if you're not hungry, because they have loved you, eat it. So Krishna said, I'm not hungry and you don't love me. So I didn't come. So when we outwardly show respect to devotees, to Vaishnavas, to Gurudev, to the deity, but in our heart, there's not the real adhar, the real honor is not present, then this is kutilya. That is a sign, that is the effect of some offense. The next one is asraddha. Asraddha means the lack of faith. Even though in our spiritual life we have so many experiences, it may be we meet with our Gurudev or some pure Vaishnava and they say something, it was exactly what we were feeling in the heart. And they directly tell it. And then, how did you know? In this way, Krishna creates so many situations to make our faith strong. Yes, I'm on the path. Krishna is very nearby and he's manifesting. in the swoop of Sadhu Sangha, Vaishnava Association. So these experiences come, and then a few days later, I don't know whether this is true or not. So the inability for the faith experience to stick. You have a faith experience, and then afterwards you have a doubt again. Then you have another faith experience, and again you have a doubt. Like this. The inability for the faith experience to be remain steady in the heart, this is the symptom of the apurva. Understand? So, the example is also given of Duryodhana. When Krishna came to the palace of the Kauravas to negotiate a peace treaty on behalf of the Pandavas, he asked, oh, please just give them 5 villages, so each of the 5 Pandavas can do their duties as Kshatriyas. Duryodhana said, I will not give them enough land into which one can drive the head of a pin. He was so vicious. So Krishna wanted to help him. He said, you should follow my advice. It's good for you. Because. And then he showed his universal form. He showed universal form to Duryodhana. Duryodhana saw. Oh, Krishna's God. And then Krishna withdrew the universal form. Then Duryodhana thought, well, maybe he's not God. Maybe he's some kind of magician, you know, he knows some hypnosis or something like that. Some kind of yogi, you see? Why? Because of his offenses to the Pandavas. When we make offenses to devotees or offenses, any type of offense, seva aparad, nama aparad, like I see every day, so many devotees come, they give a one-handed pranam to the deities. This is the seva aparad. There are 32 types described in Bhaktivedanta Sinhas. So due to the accumulation of offenses, then even God comes to you, said, I'm God, here's all the universe, all at once, and then withdraws again, and said, he's God! Oh, maybe not. So this doubting. Oh, I want to tell something about doubts. It's very interesting. When the Srimad Bhagavatam explains the 5 vrittis of buddhi, we discussed yesterday, one of them is sanshay, or doubt. Yeah? And when Patanjali analyzes the same 5 vrittis, functions of buddhi, he gives the same, but instead of doubt, he gives vikalpa, imagination. So in other words, in the language of Bhagavatam and the language of Patanjali, in the Yoga Sutras, imagination and doubt, they are the same thing. No, generally, we don't think that imagination and doubt are the same thing. They're 2 different things. And it may be in certain contexts that's true. But on this spiritual path, these 2 are being equated. So, if someone is chanting the holy name, and instead of taking shelter of hearing and allowing the spoke to manifest himself, but instead, while mumbling the name, speak the Quran, trying to entertain himself with imagination, this resorting to imagination is the symptom of doubt in the spoke to dharma of Nam. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm going off time. Very terrible. Is it interesting?
Yes.
So I prepared the class for today, but I thought I could speak it in an hour and a half, but it looks like it's more like 3 hours. But I'll have to stop here. Oh, the 5. Okay, so I just finish these 5?
Yes.
You can meditate on them, and I'll give more. I'll just tell you what they are now, and I'll give more examples tomorrow. Tomorrow I want to tell a very beautiful story about a Vaishnava who, due to certain circumstances, was thrown into the ocean of regret. And by taking shelter of Guru and Vaishnavas and the holy name, in that state of regret, overcame all the aparas. Very beautiful history, but we'll tell that tomorrow. So the first was called what?
Kautilya.
Yeah, Kautilya, crookedness. The second one? Ashraddha. So the next one is called Antara Abhinivesh. The tendency to become absorbed in things other than Krishna. So you're trying to render devotional service, but then every now and then you just become totally absorbed in something which has nothing to do with devotional service. And how it happens? Even if I will not do this, but anyway, you do it again and again and again. These are the symptoms of the repercussions, the vibrations of an offense in the past, or even today, this morning, or whatever. You see? So we have to analyze our life, see what's going on. Otherwise, the anuttap, the feeling of regret, will not come because we think, well, I have not made any offense. I woke up this morning, I smiled at everyone. Okay, so I didn't offend anyone. No, when these symptoms are present, then we should know. So, then the next one is called Swa-bhakti-adi-krita-manitvam. Swa-bhakti-adi-krita-manitvam. Swa means my own. Bhakti, etc. means activities of devotion and other activities. And krita means done. The activities of devotion and other activities which I have done, manitvam, to be proud of that. That's the fifth one. The fourth one is the bhakti shaitilya. Bhakti shaitilya. Shaitilya means,
sorry.
The fourth one, bhakti shaitilya, means looseness. Looseness in bhakti. In other words, you try to engage nicely, but you engage for a few minutes, few hours even, and then you take a break from bhakti, do something else. Or the bhakti is performed in a sloppy way, without proper focus or discipline and so on. So this is called shaitilya, a looseness in one's practice. That looseness in practice is the result of offense. And so then the last one that we just said, swabhakti adi kritamanitva, is the opposite of that. A person said, I'm not loose, I'm very strict in my bhakti. And he does everything very, very strictly, but then becomes proud of that activity. So both things are wrong. On the one hand, because sometimes we see, sometimes devotees, they do a lot of service and they become proud of that. Then afterwards, they give up their pride, but they become slack in their practice. And think, by becoming slack, now I'm more advanced. It's more natural. I'm no more natural and I'm more spontaneous now because I'm slack. Right? I'm not like that proud guy over there who's really strict. So anyway, both of these, being slack in your bhakti or being very strict and getting proud of it, these are two effects or symptoms of the presence of apurāya. So one has to examine oneself. We should not be very eager to pry into the frailties of others. We have to turn our tendency to measure others upon ourselves and see the degree to which these five symptoms are present. And then one may lament, Duradaiva vidrisha vihāda nidhāna rāga. Oh my Lord, I am unfortunate. So one thing I want to tell about anuttap. This is our last point for today. That, to become proud, manitvam was the fifth one. Yeah. So, this one last jewel, please take home with you today. Yeah, is a commentary of Srila Sridhara Swami, the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, Kripa nimito nutapaha. Kripa nimito nutapaha. In your devotional life, when you feel the antap, the regret, the repentance, then kripa nimitta, the cause is Krishna's mercy. In other words, there's no difference between the appearance of Krishna's mercy in your life and the appearance of your spirit of repentance. It's the same thing. And therefore, if a devotee is not feeling the antap, then it's no mercy actually. So, Kripa Nimito Nudabha. Very beautiful comment that she does on Gaur Premanande. Let's sing one.